Good evening. It's nice to be here this evening to share the gospel. I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 5. 2 Kings and chapter 5. Probably a well-known portion of scripture about a man called Naaman. I'm going to read these verses just to put the story together. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mightest recover him of his leprosy." And he came in, and it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray thee, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Whereof hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean." And Naaman was angry, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? And how much rather then, when he saith unto thee, 'Why shouldn't be clean?'" Then went Naaman down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing off thy servant." We'll end there at verse 15, and we know that the Lord will bless his own precious word to our hearts. This is a story that I'm sure you maybe heard preached on many occasions. But I want to take you back to your younger days, whenever you were in maybe primary school, and you were taught different poems. And one of the things that we were taught was, "Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again." Now you might think, what has that got to do with Naaman? Well, Naaman was a man who had lots of king's horses and lots of king's men. But Naaman was a man who was in trouble. He was in trouble because of a disease that had come into his life. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Naaman together again. You know, when I think of the life of Naaman, I begin to think to myself, and maybe as you listen this evening to what I'm going to say, you're beginning to think to yourself, where do I fit in to the story of Naaman? Naaman was a man who was mighty. And I would love just to look at 4 different aspects of his life. I would like to look at the aspect of him as a soldier man a sick man, a sinful man, but a saved man. Whenever you look at him from the background of him being a soldier, it says he was a mighty man in valor. Naaman was a man that people looked to. His soldiers around looked to him. He was their commander, in their chief command. He was the man that ruled. He was second in command to the king of Syria. He was a mighty, mighty soldier, a mighty warrior. He was a wonderful man, a great man. And when you begin to think of that, you begin to think of your own family. Maybe if I were to say, can you think of someone that you think is great? You might think, my mom's a great woman. My father's a great man. My brother or sister, my grandmother, my grandfather. They're great people. They're wonderful people. And you hold them in very high esteem. Naaman was held in very high esteem from the king himself to the very lowest private in his company of soldiers. What a mighty man. And you know, when we think of men like Naaman, mighty as a soldier, we even think of the situation that we have been watching and listening to and have been thrilled to see on our screens here in the United Kingdom of a man called Captain Tom Moore. Captain Tom Moore was a man who set out to try and raise £1,000 for the National Health Service. A man who wanted to do it before he turned his 100th year. And Captain Tom Moore began to walk up and down where he lived. It so captured the heart of the people of the nation, in fact, of the world, that this man who tried to raise £1,000 became a man who raised almost £33 million for the National Health Service itself. The papers, the press, the television, everybody was putting it out. What a great man is Captain Tom Moore. So much so that even the British government stepped up and they give him a knighthood. And he's now called Sir Captain Tom Moore. What an opportunity that this man had because of his ability and because of what he was, a soldier in the wars. This man now has been given the honor and he's looked upon and people have said, what a great man is Captain Tom Moore, even in the midst of this pandemic of the COVID-19. Naaman was a man, mighty as a soldier, looked upon as a wonderful man. The king liked this man so much that this king was prepared to do anything to save this man from death. But as we read in the scriptures, not only was he a great soldier, but he was a very sick man. This man, we are told, and it says it very, very nicely here in this scripture, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, honorable because the Lord had given deliverance unto him. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. But he was a leper. He had leprosy. He was very, very, very sick. In fact, it was so much so that in his day, there was no cure for leprosy. This man was carrying something now that was going to take his life. He probably has tried different doctors, different medication that would try and help soften the blow or the situation he finds himself. But Captain Naaman is in a situation that he's dying. He's so sick that we know for a fact that he is going to be removed from his family, from his wife, from his people, from his comrades, and be put into a leprosy colony where there his body would wither away in pain and agony because of leprosy. You know, when we look at the Bible and we think of leprosy, leprosy has often been a picture of sin. Something that's in your life and my life. Something that can be often hid, but deep down in, it's eating away at you and me. And we can hide that. He was a sick man. Physically, He was sick. He was dying physically. He was going to be removed from his job, removed from his family, and removed from his society. And he was going to die a horrible death. But the fact that he had been a soldier, God had allowed in his providence something to take place. And one of those situations when Naaman had gone to Israel and fought against Israel and killed and maimed and destroyed. On one of those occasions, Naaman brings back a little girl. He kidnaps a child. He brings her back to the palace. And he gives the little girl as a gift to his wife. And this little girl becomes a slave, carrying the water, cleaning the floors, making the meals, washing the dishes. This little girl had every right to be angry, every right to be hurt, every right to look upon Naaman when he was sick and think, he deserves this. But Naaman, in his sickness, is going to be touched by the mercy of God through a little girl. And this little girl tells him, she tells him that there's hope. She comes and she says to Naaman's wife, I know a man in Israel, a man who's a prophet. This little girl had tremendous faith in God, tremendous faith in the man of God, because she knew the man of God had done miracle after miracle. And this little girl had faith in God. And she believed that this man could help Naaman get cured of his leprosy. And so the little girl tells him to go to Israel and to go to the prophet. And there he would find help. Naaman hears about this. He goes to the king and he says to the king about it. And the king is delighted to hear that there's hope for this man who's very sick. Very sick. His best soldier's dying. And he's sick. And he gives a letter of authority. And he puts lots of stuff into the chariot. Lots of silver. Lots of gold. Changes of garments. And he sends him off to the land of Israel. And he sends him off there to try and find this man who can help him. And Naaman sets off with his chariot, with all this wealth of materialism tied inside it, to go and find help. At the testimony of a little girl, at the testimony of a child. Maybe you've been listening to your child. Maybe you have a little girl or a little boy, your son, your daughter, your grandchild, your granddaughter. And maybe they've come to faith in Jesus. Maybe they've given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've gone back home to you, and maybe they've said, Daddy, Mommy, I got saved at Sunday school. Maybe to a grandparent, and they've come and sat on your knee, and they've said, I got saved, I give my life to Jesus, and that little child has come and told you about getting saved and coming to faith in Jesus, and it's just childlike faith. And you know that. And that little child, that little boy, that little girl in your home, in your family, every neighborhood, they've told you about the gospel. They've shared the simplicity of the gospel about getting saved. And you know you need to be saved. Naaman was looking for help. The king of Syria wanted this man healed. And off he goes to the land of Syria. In all his sickness, he arrives in Israel. You know, whenever he arrives in Israel, he goes to the king of Israel. The little girl told him not to go to the king of Israel. The little girl said there was a man of God, a prophet. And this man goes in his chariot, and he stands outside the house of the palace of the king of Israel. And he's expecting the king of Israel to be able to come out and do something. After all, the little girl said, there's a man. Well, this little girl didn't send him to the king of Israel. But he went there thinking, that must be the right place to go. somebody of high society, somebody in the same ladder, the same rung of the ladder that I'm in, somebody up here. And you know, for many people, they know they need to be saved. But sometimes they look down upon the gospel preacher and say, well, you know, maybe that preacher's right, and maybe there's those who need that type of preaching, but I'm okay. Naaman wasn't only a great soldier, not only was he sick with leprosy, but Naaman was a great sinner. A great sinner. You know, when you look into this man's life, this man had tremendous prestige, tremendous power, held one of the greatest positions in the army of the king of Syria. But you know, this man was a sinner. This man would have been able to go around and he would have been able to show his medals off for war that he had won. He could have had the greatest line of medals on his coat. But he was a sinner and dying. You know, when you look into his life and you see him now standing at the king of Israel's gates asking for help, he's at the wrong place. He's at the wrong place. He's trying to find peace. He's trying to find cleansing. He's trying to find healing at the wrong place. And maybe you are trying to do exactly the same as Naaman. You're trying to find forgiveness. You're trying to find peace. You're trying to find salvation. But you're going to the wrong place. You're going to the wrong person. The king of Israel, whenever Naaman comes and hands him the letter from the king of Syria, the king of Israel is so annoyed. The king of Israel is so angry. The king of Israel even says, am I God to make someone better? The king of Israel couldn't help him. The little girl knew the king of Israel couldn't help him. But yet some of you feel today that you're okay. You know, whenever you look into the heart of this man's life, this man had tremendous pride. Tremendous pride. He thought that everybody would just bow down to him. He thought that, you know, the king of Israel would come out and put his hand upon his body where the leprosy was. And he thought, surely this man will come out and touch me, and I'll be clean. But no. You see, he thought that in his chariot with all the wealth and clothing that he had brought of the silver and gold and 10 changes of garments, he thought that he could buy his cleansing. He thought that surely the goodness, who I am, should speak. I'm a prominent man. I'm a man with wealth. I'm a man with position. And the king of Syria has sent me with a letter of authority. But Naaman was going to find out he was a sinful man. And all the things that he thought he owned, and all the power and prestige that he thought he carried, he was finding out that they were of no use. You see, folk, when you come to the end of life's journey, when you get to the end of life's journey, it doesn't matter whether you have £1 or £1,000,000. It doesn't matter whether you live in a small house or in a mansion. When you come to the end of life's journey, there's nothing left. Your house, your wealth, all the material world that you own and the knowledge you gained will all just fade away. Maybe you're like Naaman. And in your sinfulness, you think you know better. Naaman says, I thought he would come out. I thought he would come out and touch me, he says in verse 11. You see, a lot of people think that God will look upon me, that God will look upon you, and God will see all the good things in life that you have done, and all the great things you have done in life, and all the money you've given in life to spread, maybe even in the church, the gospel, but you're still not saved. And you're holding on to your own goodness, and you're holding on to your own position of power and your wealth, and you think, surely this has got to make some count for me. For Naaman, he might have been a mighty soldier, a very sick man, but inside the midst of it all, there was something worse than leprosy, and it was sin. And here's a man sitting in his chariot or standing in his chariot who thinks that he can buy his cleansing, who thinks that he can even maybe bribe the king of Israel to do something for him, at least that he may escape the disease of leprosy. You know, friends, with leprosy being a picture of sin, you can't buy cleansing. And you can't bribe God to let you into heaven. It's not going to happen. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. He died at Calvary that you might be saved. He gave his life. And he says the salvation, it's not to be purchased, it's free. It's a gift. It's eternal. And it's for you tonight if you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Here's a man who comes in all his sinfulness. What a soldier. What a sickness. What a sinner. Lost. Lost in his sin. He thought he could hide it, but it came out. You know, maybe this evening, as you listen to this message, maybe there's something in your life and you're concealing it and no one knows anything about it. But you know deep down in your heart, it's eating away at your soul. You know, whenever you look into some of those in this world that has tried to conceal something and nobody knows anything about it. You know, I'm reminded of a man who we would have looked upon as a very funny person, a man by the name of Robin Williams. Robin Williams, you know, we watched him on the television screen. He could make voices. We think of something like the movie Mrs. Doubtfire. A man who was so funny. A man who could make people laugh. A man that you would have looked upon and thought, this man is so funny. Life must be great. It must have been great in living with this man. But Robin Williams had something in his life that no one seemed to know about. Robin Williams was going through something in life within his own soul that he was concealing from everybody else and hiding it. And no one knew it was there. But oh, what happens in August of 2014? When the news breaks that Robin Williams took his own life by suicide, by hanging, it shocked the world. It shocked the people in Hollywood. They weren't expecting it. A man who was so funny, a man who was always putting a smile on the world's faces and laughter, inside was being eaten away by something he was trying to conceal. Maybe tonight you're listening to this message, sitting in your own home tonight, watching this broadcast going out, and you know you're lost. And you know that inside your life tonight there's a thing that's called sin, and it's eating away. And one day, you will leave the scene of time. One day, you will die. One day you will stand before God. One day you will give an account of what you did with Jesus. Here's a man called Naaman, a great sinner, murdered people, maimed, destroyed. But he stands before a prophet now. He comes from the house or the palace of the king of Syria, or the king of Israel. And the man of God, Elisha, heard about him being there and he sent for him. And he comes to the man of God. And when he comes to the man of God tells him what he has to do. Naaman didn't like what he was hearing. But the man of God told him that he had to go and wash in the river Jordan 7 times. In verse 10, it tells him, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will come again unto you, and you will be clean. Imagine being told by the doctor to do something simple. Would you reject that? If you were dying with a disease that you knew was going to take your life, and take it maybe within days or weeks or months, and the doctor says, here's the simple cure. Just go and do this, and you'll be clean. You wouldn't wait. You wouldn't hesitate. You would go right away and you'd do exactly what that physician would tell you to do, because you'd be thinking, what have I got to lose but the problem? But not with Naaman. He was a proud man. He was a man who gave orders but didn't take orders. He was a man who was a dictator but didn't like to be dictated to. But now things have changed. And he's dying. And the man of God, Elisha, tells him, this is the man the little girl had told him to go to in the first place. And the man of God says, go and dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. Well, the Bible says the man was not happy about this and he was angry. And he went away in a rage. Verse 12 says, he even said to the man of God, he says, you want me to go down to the river Jordan? There are greater rivers back in Damascus. Abana and Forfa, mighty rivers. I could have gone and cleansed myself in those if that was the situation. But it wasn't cleansing in the river. It was obedience to the word of God that he was being told. He was told to dip 7 times. Why 7? You know, 7 is the perfect number. 7 is the number of fulfillment. This man was told to go and dip 7 times. 1 dip short of 7 was only partial, and it was never going to do it. You know, you've heard the gospel to come to Jesus many times. You've been given the opportunity to come and give your life to Jesus Christ. And you've said, you know what, I'm going to start to do things. I'm going to go to church more often. I'll maybe go to the Bible study, even the prayer meeting. Maybe you think, I start giving more even to the mission fields. But there's one thing still missing. And that is giving your life to Jesus. That step where you have to step out by faith and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Naaman didn't like what he was hearing. And he turned in a rage and is ready to go back home and die with the disease of leprosy until one of his soldiers says to him, my father, if the prophet had asked you to do something big, something great, you would have done it because of who you are. But he's asking you to do something simple. You don't want to do it. What have you to lose? You know, it's the same with the gospel. We're not asking you to do something big, something wonderful in the eyes of the world. We're asking you to do something really simple. We're asking you just to bow your head and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and to cleanse you from sin. To give you new peace and new hope. To give you cleansing. And a freedom and a liberty that only comes in Jesus. maybe you're saying, not tonight. Not just at the moment. You're still sitting in your pride. And you're going to die in your pride because you won't give your life to Jesus. Naaman, a mighty soldier. Naaman, a very sick man. Naaman, a very sinful man. Naaman, a saved man. A saved man. Whenever the man who was with him said, "My father, why don't you go and just do what the prophet has asked you to do?" Naaman turned and went down to the Jordan River and got out of his chariot. He got out of his pride. And maybe this evening you're sitting in your pride and you think, "I'm okay. I go to the church. I give my 10%. I don't do anybody any harm. I'm a good neighbor. I'm a good person. I work hard." Friends, they are all good. But you could be sitting in pride. And as one old preacher said, pride dug hell and damned the devil. Why go down that road of pride? The man, Naaman, listened to the man, one of his soldiers, and he went down and he got out of the chariot of pride. He went down into the river and he dipped himself 7 times. And when he came up the 7th time, he came up and the Bible says his flesh was like that of a little child in verse 14. Wow. He couldn't believe it. The thing that was killing him, the disease that was destroying him, the disease that was going to take him away from his loved ones and family, suddenly he's cleansed. It's an unknown fact in this day and age that this leper could be so clean. But it was because he obeyed the man of God. He went and did what he was told. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as bowing your head and saying, "Lord Jesus, I'm just a proud person. And I thought I was okay. And I thought going to my church and giving to my church and helping my friends and being a good father or mother or grandfather or grandmother or a good child, I thought that was enough. But tonight, Lord Jesus, I want to step out of my pride. And I want to come to Jesus. If you just bow your head and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and you really and truly mean it, Jesus will be there to meet you. If you come to Calvary tonight and give your life to Christ who died on the cross, you can be saved. Saved for time and for eternity. Here's Naaman coming up out of the Jordan River on the 7th occasion. Clean. Clean as a newborn child. His flesh was flawless. Oh, it tells me about being so perfect. You know when that little one's born and the mom and dad looks at it and the grandfather and grandmother come and look at it. You know what they often say? Perfect. He or she's just perfect. Look at his little nails. Look at his eyes. His hair. Everything's perfect. You know, whenever Naaman come up out of the river, the soldiers that were surrounding him could look at him and say, "Naaman, perfect. Just perfect." You see, Jesus does all things well. And tonight, if you give your life to the Lord Jesus, you can find forgiveness, cleansing, and peace. There he comes up out of the river. He went back to the man of God. He went back to the man of God and he made a testimony of his salvation. In verse 15 it says, "And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know there's no other God in all the earth but in the God of Israel." He's now trusting in the God of Israel. Do you know what God he's trusting in? He's trusting in the God of the little girl that he's kidnapped. The little girl who gave a testimony to what God could do. And friends, tonight, as a testimony to what God can do, like that little girl, on the 24th of June, 1977, I give my life to the Lord Jesus. I ask the Lord Jesus to come in and save me from my sin. I never doubted it from that moment, that what Jesus said he would do, he would do. As you listen to me in these closing moments of this gospel message, I'm asking you that question. What will you do with Jesus? Will you still sit in your chariot of pride, your chariot of religion, your chariot of good works? Or will you step out tonight by faith and ask Jesus to come into your heart? Will you ask Jesus to save you? Naaman went home a different man. I can just imagine what it must have been like when that big chariot turned up. When it turned up. Back at the house where his wife, a little girl, was, and the king. And Naaman went back to tell them he had found cleansing. It wasn't through the king of Israel. It was through the King of Kings. It was through Jesus. What a testimony that he goes back home with. And it never cost him. It only cost him his pride. He came back. He wanted to give gifts for his cleansing. The man of God said, "No. No. You can't buy this cleansing. This cleansing is already paid for. And it's free." So tonight I offer you the gift that's free. The gift of Jesus Christ. The gift of eternal life. And I ask you in these closing moments right now, as we come to the end, will you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you step out of your chariot of pride? And will you come to Christ and just bow your knees where you're sitting and ask Christ to come into your heart? Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in tonight. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. If you do that, and you really mean that, then will you please tell someone? Let us know. Because when Naaman went back home, everyone knew he was a believer. They could see his cleansing. He had proof, not only of cleansing from leprosy, but cleansing from sin. Jesus had done a great work, and he'll do it for you. Will you trust him? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity of sharing the gospel in its simplicity tonight. And I pray, Lord, that those who are sitting listening and will hear this message will not hear the voice of a person, but the voice of God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that someone or ones will just say, "Lord Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I want to get saved." Oh, what a story of a man who was a great soldier, very, very sick, a great sinner, but was saved by grace. Oh, Lord, save us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.